The thing God wants for us more than anything else is to reflect His heart. And His heart is one of boundless generosity. Hi, I'm Rob West, and today I want to get you to think in a different way about giving. We often think it's about God wanting something from us, but really it's about Him wanting something for us. I'll explain more on that just ahead. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, on our Monday programs, we start our broadcast week with first principles to talk about foundational truths that undergird the other things we discuss on this program. A week ago, I talked about Jesus' words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And I reminded you that Jesus has a lot to say about money and possessions and about how God uses those things to mold us into more mature disciples. You know, when it comes to money, there are only about five general ways you interact with it. You can earn it, you can use it to live on, give it away, pay it to someone you owe, or you can invest it so that it can grow to meet future needs. So that's earn, live, give, owe, and grow. Five things. So far this month, we've covered earn and live, and today I want to talk to you about give. Maybe you've heard someone say something like, "Why should I give to the church? I need the money more than they do." Well, I can commend such a person for being forthright, but what he is expressing is a worldly perspective, one that assumes that the church or some other ministry is simply trying to separate you from your money as though you're buying a product or paying a fee. Christian giving isn't like that at all. Christian giving, as I said in our opening today, isn't about something God wants from us. It's about what God wants for us. And what does he want? Well, ultimately, he wants us to be like him. That's what Christian discipleship and the work of the Holy Spirit is all about, molding and making us day by day more like the Lord himself, the one whose very nature is to give. God is the great giver. Why did he create the universe? Why did he make the human race? Why did he send Jesus to us? Well, all of these things flow from his boundless generosity and love. And this generous God wants us to be like him. The Apostle Peter says, "We who have come to Christ have become partakers of the divine nature." There are many implications of that, but among them is that the very generosity of God should flow through us. That includes giving financially to support God's work in the world. Unfortunately, many Christians think of giving as a burden, as something they have to do. No, it's something we get to do. Giving is a privilege, and it helps us, when done with the right attitude, to experience the joy of generosity and become people who delight as God does in giving freely. Now, having said that, I want to be clear that being a generous giver is facilitated by being a wise and faithful steward in every area of your finances. If you plan well, spend wisely, and avoid debt, you can more easily grow in generosity. And by growing in generosity, you'll become more and more Christ-like. And that's exactly what God wants for you. I want to again quote from a sermon by 18th century preacher and theologian John Wesley. I did this a couple of weeks ago as well. One of his famous sermons is called "The Use of Money." In it, he says, "Having first gained all you can, and secondly saved all you can, then give all you can." There is something implicit in what he is saying, and that is wise money management. The only way you can save all you can is by managing your earnings wisely, and that also holds for giving all you can. If you learn to manage money well, you'll be able to give more. And believe it or not, giving money away will make you a more joyful person, because as you grow in generosity, you will become more and more like the person God intends you to be. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 9:7. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Giving reluctantly or under compulsion misses the whole point. The God who has given to us so freely to the extent of giving his only begotten son for us wants us to give freely too. Now, if you find it difficult to give cheerfully, let me urge you to take that to the Lord. Ask him to make your heart like his heart. That might not happen overnight, I recognize that. But if you keep up that prayer, I'm confident that God will answer. You will become a cheerful giver and be more like him so that you can align your passions, how he's wired you uniquely, with his heart and his activity in the world to meet the needs. needs of others, and you'll be blessed by it. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
I refer to your part-time jobs as what you do outside of your home, outside of your family, to generate an income for your family. Your full-time job is what you do within your family. We're on the go consistently, people are hustling, trying to get it. And I just want to remind everybody to whoa, pump the brakes. Make sure that we are not neglecting our families in the process.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Show up at your full-time job, ready to work.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Hey, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions. We'll get right back to the phones here in just a moment. Hey, would you like to find a financial advisor, an investment advisor, tax and accounting professional that shares your values and has met high standards when it comes to character and integrity, but also experience? You can do so when you search for a Certified Kingdom Advisor. You can find one in your area on our website, moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA. All right, let's head back to the phones. Kissimmee, Florida. Hey, Leon, thank you for your patience. How can I help you?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this. I own a house. We own a home. It's probably about $600,000 on it, the market value. I have probably about $130,000 loan or mortgage from it. I was wondering, is there any way or any advice that you can give me in terms of how can I take advantage of that equity that I have on that house?
Yeah. Well, so would you be thinking about, Leon, perhaps taking refinancing, pulling some of that equity out and then investing it? Is that what you're considering?
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of that approach. I think when it comes to your primary residence, the goal should be to pay it off. Now, there would be some that say, well, there's an opportunity cost there that, you know, you could take this money and put it to work in a stock and bond portfolio or another piece of real estate or a small business and, you know, get a better rate of return than you might get on the mortgage. And you could offset that mortgage and build more in the way of assets. And that might be true. I guess the way I look at my primary residence is not necessarily as an investment. Now, yes, you should expect to buy a piece of real estate that's going to increase in value over time. We're certainly seeing that significantly play out right now, especially given some of the inventory shortages we have throughout the housing markets around the country. And so as a result, prices are elevated. You're referencing that yourself. But again, it's not an investment straight in the sense that typically with an investment, when it accomplishes its purpose, you sell it. So if something were to, you know, begin to head down in value, you might liquidate an investment. Well, you don't do that with your home because it's where you live. And the idea that you own your home free and clear, I think, is a good, worthy goal because it gives you more flexibility and peace of mind, and it reduces your overall lifestyle. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be saving for buying other investments, you know, perhaps out of surplus cash flow to put money down on a rental property or to build, you know, investment portfolios with stocks and bonds, either in a retirement account or outside of it. I think that makes sense as well, but not to the extent that we're borrowing against our home to do it. Because, you know, if something were to happen with those investments, we get into a recession and, you know, see the stock market take a tumble, or we get into a difficult housing market, or you have a piece of property that, you know, just doesn't appreciate as much as you'd like, or you have trouble renting it out. Now, all of a sudden, we put our home at risk in an effort to do that. So from my standpoint, Leon, and this is just me, again, some would disagree, I'd say let's focus on getting that $130,000 paid off just as quick as you can so that you own your home free and clear. And then let's take that mortgage payment and let's use that to start building assets that can then be deployed in a way that's going to seek a return. And that would be, you know, in whatever area you're comfortable with. But that's just my take. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, that's why I really need an advice on that, because everyone is saying, hey, you have that equity that you can have it invested and get more in return in terms of the investment, then comparing it with the interest rate on the loan, you're getting more money than getting more money from your house. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if you understand that. So yeah, at the same time, I can afford to pay the, assuming it goes up to the value of 80% of the $600,000, which is the loan, I can pay that monthly as well with the income that I have now. So, or I can put the money or my income to maximize my 401k or anything like that, which is I do 25% of my income goes to 401k.
Okay.
I
would just feel better about that. I mean, right now you're going to get a mortgage over 4%. You're going to spend a lot of money to do it, probably 3% of that new mortgage. Let's say it's $500,000 loan. You're going to spend, you know, $15,000 just in the refinance. I'd rather see you just stay this course. Let's get this home paid off, own it free and clear, and take that surplus you have, look for additional giving opportunities. You've already increased your 401k contributions. Perhaps start saving for a down payment on a rental property. And once you build up enough to, you know, buy a piece of rental property, you do that. But it's not attached to your primary residence. That you're on track to get it paid off. That's just my perspective. I'd feel a lot better about that direction. But you pray about it and see where the Lord leads you. Leon, thanks for your call today. To Tennessee, Sander, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
The thing is this, I have a house that I'm paying is $116,000.
Okay.
And right now, I'm selling a property in my country, which is, I'm going to get like a profit of $75,000.
Okay.
So what I want to say to invest it in my house, some people have been telling me no, because don't invest everything in the house.
Right.
Leave some money for you, and because of the situation, the financial situation right now. And I'm going to be retiring in January.
Yes. Yeah. How much do you have in savings, not counting this $75,000 that's coming your way?
I'm having like a, I got like a $10,000 in savings.
About $10,000 in savings. And how much do you spend each month in expenses, roughly? $2,000, $3,000, more?
Let me see, around $2,000.
Around $2,000 a month. All right, let's say it's $2,500. I'd love for you to have 6 months' expenses in savings, Sander. So that would be $15,000. And you said you have about, how much do you have in savings right now?
$10,000.
$10,000, okay. So I'd love for you to take at least $5,000 to shore up your savings account out of this $75,000. And then the question is, does it make sense for you to put this all against the house? If you could pay it off, I'd say go for it, because it would free up your mortgage payment. But you're not going to change your mortgage payment if you don't, if you can't pay it off. Are you living paycheck to paycheck, or do you have some surplus each month after the expenses are paid?
No, I live like after the check. Yeah.
Very close. Okay. So I'd say from that standpoint, I'd probably just stay on track with paying your mortgage the way you are. Don't take all of this money and put it against the house. I'd probably take $5,000 and shore up your savings. I'd look at the rest of it to perhaps not only pay the taxes on the sale of this property, if you have any, but I'd probably look at hanging on to a portion of it, maybe use it to fund, accelerate your retirement savings if you're behind on that. I think a bigger question for you, Sander, is probably what is your plan? So I'd also schedule a time to visit with a financial planner to talk through all of this. You stay on the line. We'll talk a little bit more off the air. And folks, we're going to pause for a break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions and perhaps a couple of emails that we lined up in advance. So let's head back to the phones. West Palm Beach, Florida is where Heather's located. Heather, go right ahead.
Thank you for your time today.
Sure.
My question is in regards to maternity leave and how I can best save for that. I just came off maternity leave and went back to work, and I have used up most of my savings being out for 5 months. I usually save for about 4 to 5 months of being out for work, and I also take out short-term disability to help me. So I would like to know how I can, if there are other options to help me better save or take care of that time when I'm not working and I'm on maternity leave.
Yes. Okay. So you're just coming off of maternity leave. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
My husband and I would like to have more children, but I don't want to end up on maternity leave again and replenish all of my savings. So I'm looking for other options or additional options of how to best prepare for when I go on maternity leave again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, short-term disability insurance, you know, is a great tool to cover the time you're on unpaid maternity leave. Policies do vary, but most cover between 2 weeks before and 6 weeks after. So that's a help. But, you know, obviously it's not going to give you 5 months, depending on how much you're looking for. I think the key here is just to take a hard look at your budget, Heather, for you guys to really go back to the spending plan and just say, what can we trim to free up more margin so that we can save? So that, you know, as we, the Lord allows us to have more children, we've got enough in our emergency fund so that we can cover these work interruptions and, you know, perhaps lost hours, depending upon, you know, how you're compensated with a new baby, recognizing there's going to be a lot of new expenses you're bringing into the equation here, but also, you know, it could result in disruptions in your pay. And that will extend likely beyond what your disability coverage will provide. So I think this is really just a budget function that you guys need to take a hard look at to see what you can do to trim so that you'll have that margin to set aside. I'm delighted to hear you had the funds to cover this because that's really what this is for. Now, keep in mind, an emergency fund is typically for unplanned expenses. Obviously, if you know this is coming, I would kind of put this in a separate savings category, if you will. But the bottom line is you just need to, you know, try to have the proper insurance to the best you can to be able to cover as much as you can. And then secondly, save for what's not covered so that you can fund that out of your own savings. Easier said than done, I recognize. But, you know, if you guys have some time to plan for this and you can really make some hard choices on what to do to free up margin, you know, that'll go a long way to getting you ready for the next one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, congratulations. And how is the little one doing?
Thank you. He's doing well.
Good. Well, I've been there, and I know how exciting it is. We had 4 in 4 years, so we had our son, and then 18 months later, another son, and then twins kind of on the heels of that. So it was a busy time, but lots of blessing. So I understand full well what you guys are experiencing, but stay focused on that spending plan, especially in this season as you're adding new expenses that you haven't had before. So you guys don't get in a situation where you're taking on any credit card debt or anything like that. Heather, we appreciate your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is typically the number to call. But as I said, we're not here today. So let's do this. We do get some great emails from time to time from those of you who listen to the program. And we don't often get ample time to take as many as I would like. So let's get a couple done today. This one comes from Larry. And Larry just writes, my aunt has run up a ton of credit card debt. We want to consolidate it and get it paid off. How can I help her without just giving her money to pay her bills? And I'm not a big fan, Larry, of consolidation loans where we replace debt with new debt. I love the fact that you want to help your aunt get this taken care of. I'm going to recommend a credit counseling program. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org would be a great resource for a couple of reasons. Number one is this is my preferred way to pay down debt simply because it ensures that you do it with lower interest rates, which is going to allow you to pay through one fixed monthly payment, pay the debt back 80% faster. But here's the other piece. Is they're going to spend some time with her and go over exactly what she's got, pray with her, encourage her, help her develop a spending plan. So now there's some third-party accountability, which if you're going to turn over some money to help her get out of debt, I think that should give you some peace of mind to know that she's accountable to somebody and there's somebody helping her working through her spending plan. And then once they determine that she's able to do this out of her budget, they get the interest rates down, they get one fixed monthly payment, perhaps you agree to take half of that monthly payment and you could send it direct to Christian Credit Counselors. So you match every dollar she puts into this. And so maybe between the two of you, you cover that monthly payment to get that credit card debt coming down and ultimately paid off. So that would be my best advice for you today is to check out ChristianCreditCounselors.org and get her started. And then just let her know once she gets enrolled in the program, you guys will cover half the payment. We appreciate your email. Let me quickly take one more. This one just says, we're trying to find a financial coach. Where should we start? Well, MoneyWise.org would be a great resource for you. We have financial coaches here that would be delighted to help you with a spending plan or a giving plan, perhaps a debt reduction plan, whatever you need. Our coaches can help. Just head over to MoneyWise.org. While you're there, create a free MoneyWise account. That will ensure that you get our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. And you can check out all of our great content there as well. We aggregate content from 14 content partners, the best in Christian finance. It's all there at moneywise.org. All right, we're going to pause for a break. When we come back, much more on the program. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions that we lined up in advance. So let's go right back to the phones. Rockford, Illinois, Orlando. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, how you doing today, sir?
Doing great.
Good. Yeah, so I had a question about the housing market. I got a pre-approval probably a month ago. And the inventory for a buyer is just low. You know, things are overpriced and it's just not looking good for a buyer. So I'm wondering with everything going on as far as inflation and things of that nature and still dealing with the endings of a pandemic, is it good to buy now? I know that you guys have talked about this extensively, but is it good to buy now? Should I wait a year? It's just a lot of things that's going on in my head.
Yeah, it's a challenging housing market, Orlando, no doubt. Did you sell a home that put you in this position, or would you be a first-time home buyer?
First-time home buyer.
Okay, so you've been renting to this point. You're renting even as we speak, correct?
Yes, renting as we speak, and yeah. The purpose of me buying a home would be trying to buy a multifamily unit.
I see, yeah. So you're looking to perhaps buy a duplex and rent out a portion of it, something like that?
Yes.
Okay. So not just a single family home, but something that you can use for an investment as well. Talk to me about that. Why would you do that as your first home?
Well, I think as of now, I'm 27, and because of the job that I work every couple of years in a certain area. So right now I'm going to be here for about another 2 years. So I don't want to quite settle in that single family home. Once I buy my single family home, I want it to be where I'll be for the next 10 to 20 years, raising a family and things of that nature.
Okay. So, but your plan would be that you would be in this particular home how long before you relocate?
2 years. And then, okay. So Chicago is about an hour away. So I'll probably move to Chicago after those 2 years.
All right. But you'd try to hang on to this at that point and then save up and buy something else?
Yes. Hang on to that and rent both of those sides out. Yeah. And then on to Chicago, yes.
All right. What do you have for a down payment that you've saved?
Right now, about $15,000.
Okay. And how much would you be looking to spend?
So my pre-approval was for $350,000, but in this area, I would love to stay around the $270,000.
All right. And have you found some options, multifamily places for that price point?
See, that's the issue. It's about two or three that I've seen was under contract for one, but it didn't appraise for the selling price. The selling price was $40,000 over, and, you know, the seller didn't want to come down, so we had to kill the deal. So that's kind of the biggest issue of why.
Yeah. Yeah, the challenge I see here is you've got a couple of things working against you. I mean, I realize you want to get in someplace. You love the idea of having some rental income, paying your mortgage. I get that. But you've got to have the financial stability underneath you for that to work, especially when you're buying into a market like this that's elevated where you're going to have to pay a premium. I mean, 20 and 30%, you know, over and above asking price is not uncommon. You know, and so those kinds of situations are challenging. And if you're going into it without much equity and we were to see a cooling in the housing market, you know, that could put you in a real spot where you're upside down. If you have a disruption in income, now all of a sudden these homes are in jeopardy. I mean, I would typically say you wouldn't want to buy this until you can put 20% down. Well, that's, you know, $54,000. You know, so I think the key here is recognizing that, you know, you've got to probably save up a bit more before you go into this, because I think you're just going to get overextended with a really, you know, a large mortgage, paying private mortgage insurance without much equity. And then again, if you have a problem or a slowdown in the economy, which we very well could, a cooling of the housing market, now you're in a real predicament, not to mention that you'd then be moving in 2 years to another, you know, locale and trying to do this over again, I suspect without a whole lot of savings to do it. So if it were me, and I know you probably don't want to hear this, Orlando, because I know you'd like to move forward on this, I'd probably push the pause button on this and continue to rent, even though rental prices are high with housing prices, I get that, and just save, and really try to limit your lifestyle and put away as much as you can. So when you're ready to buy that first place, it's something you can go into with at least 20% down and where the mortgage is not more than 25% of your take-home pay, which means you have, you know, enough left to cover all the other bills and you're giving and you're, you know, saving for long-term and retirement and those kinds of things. You know, and on top of that, I'd love for you to have an emergency fund of at least 3 months' expenses. So I just think going into this kind of market, seller's market, with a little bit of equity, especially given the transition that's coming up on you, and I don't hear, you know, a lot of assets under you that would give me confidence that you could hang on to this property and then do it again in Chicago, that just sounds pretty risky. And given some of the challenges we could have economically in the next couple of years, I think that's just probably more risk than I'd be willing to take. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Okay. All right. But hey, I appreciate you checking in. If you have other questions along the way, don't hesitate to give us a call. God bless you, buddy. Betsy's in North Jackson, Ohio. Betsy, go right ahead.
Hi. I dropped the phone. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. How can I help you?
My question was, I'm in my last few years of work. I think I'm going to have to work as long as I can, but I have a mortgage. My mortgage is $850, and I've gotten my house down to $96,000. I refinanced it, so the interest is 2.8 right now. So yeah, it seems to be going down much quicker. And I have $100,000 in the 401k, but it's kind of, I lost $5,000 on that. And I was wondering, when I stop working with my employer, what could I do to make it grow?
Yeah. So are you looking at a job change very soon here?
I think a job change would be good because it's too many hours and
okay,
it's affecting my health.
And you said you want to work as long as you can. I realize so you can save and, you know, not, and have some income to cover your expenses. But realistically, how long is that? I mean, you think you're going to work another 10 years or more?
Possibly.
Yeah, so then I think you definitely want to keep this money growing for you. And if you're healthy and this is where the Lord has you, then great. And especially if you're going to make a change to something else. So what I'd do is once you separate from your employer, I'd roll it to an IRA, an individual retirement account. And then I'd keep it invested and keep contributing to a new 401k at your new job. And let's just try to save on a tax-deferred basis as much as you can. As long as you have a 10-plus year time horizon, even 5 to 10 years, you want it invested with some sort of allocation to stock, so it can have some growth, especially with high inflation. Yeah, the market may be bumpy over the next, you know, year or two, especially if we were to hit a recession, and there's probably a 50% chance we could see one this year, perhaps a little bit more than 50% next year. Could we bypass it because our economy is so strong and wages are high and the labor market's strong? Yes, we could, but there's going to be some volatility. But the key is maintaining that long time horizon. So I'd be looking to roll it to an IRA and then either check with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org for some help on investments or find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Ohio. You can do that at moneywise.org. Just click find a CKA to interview two or three before you find your final advisor. And we appreciate your call today. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless. For the most part, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Today's issues, offering understanding and encouragement.
To those of you who may be worried, let me remind you that our God reigns.
AFA President Tim Wildman is joined by a host of godly voices to help make sense of the news of the day.
Once they take the word experimental off of it, I might feel better about it.
Right. It's only a few outlets like you at American Family Radio that are bothering to report it.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in. There's nobody here to take the call, but we lined up some great questions that I know you'll enjoy. So let's head right back to the phones. Pompano Beach, Florida. I know it well. Francis, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. First of all, I love your show. I listen to it every day. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My question is hopefully very simple. I read somewhere that if you you sell your home and you make under a certain amount of income, you don't have to pay, the capital gains.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In 2022, Francis, individual filers won't pay any capital gains if their total taxable income is less than $41,675. So, it's a pretty low bar, but anything under that in terms of taxable income, you're correct. Now, the rate jumps to 15% if you go over $41,675 all the way up to $459,000. So that's where most people fall. But if you happen to have taxable income less than that $41,675 this year, that's where the capital gains rate is zero.
Is that $41,000? That's before taxes.
Yeah, that's your taxable reportable income that you would report to the IRS.
All right, and then one more thing. What if I file as head of household? Because I read somewhere it was $53,000.
Yeah, there is a table there, and I'm not quite sure, you know, exactly what it is, but you could look that up. If you just search for capital gains tax rates, you would find that. I'm just looking real quick. You're exactly right. Yeah. So head of household goes up to $54,100. And married filing jointly, for instance, is $80,800. So there's a table there that the IRS puts out, but you are correct. $54,000 if you're head of household.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate
All right.
it. You have a
you're
wonderful
welcome.
Week and keep up the good
you.
Work.
Thank you, Francis. You're very sweet. We appreciate your call today. On to Minnesota, Virginia. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. Well, I am just turned 55 and I have an insurance question. I have had a full life policy since I was in my 20s. Changing it to my policy for a while, but got that far. So I'm wondering if it would be at that point to cash that in. There's not a whole lot of surrender value. But, and then do a term life policy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're breaking up just a little bit, but I think I've got it. So you're 55. You've had a whole life policy for quite a while. You said it doesn't have a whole lot of cash value. Do you know roughly what that is?
It's only like a couple $1,000s because I had to borrow on it. Several years ago.
All right. And what is the death benefit?
$50,000.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, I'm not a big fan of whole life, except for a few reasons for estate tax purposes, which these days, you know, doesn't really apply to most folks, at least in the current tax structure. You know, if you had a lifelong dependent or there was a real need for it. But I just think you can do better with a straight term policy and, you know, doing your savings in, you know, IRAs and retirement accounts and other means where you're going to do better over the long haul. And you, when doing that, you're buying pure insurance, so you're keeping the cost as low as possible, which allows you to buy the proper coverage. Because for most folks, you know, they're often underinsured when they have these whole life policies. Because, you know, at a starting point, if you're trying to replace, let's say, income, you know, you would need 10 to 12 times the income you're replacing. And that's just kind of the starting point. We'd want to think about paying off a house out of that or funding a college education, things like that. You know, if it's for a non-working spouse on his or her life, you would want to make sure that if there's small kids at home, that it's enough to cover childcare, which can be costly. So I'd like to really think about the amount of coverage that's needed and for what period of time, and then go out and find the least expensive policy to provide that death benefit for the time period that's needed. And, you know, make sure that that risk is then truly offset. And then with any additional funds that are available, you know, save in vehicles that are going to allow you to really maximize the growth over time. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm single. My kids are both married and have their own families. So I don't have dependents or anything like that to, although I'd like to, you know, leave them something, but...
Sure. So I guess at that question, you know, if the whole reason for it is just for an inheritance, I would wonder if it might be better, especially if, you know, they're doing well and you might need this money down the road for your own long-term care, or you might, you know, down this, we're talking way down the road, Lord willing, but, you know, you might need some long, you know, some nursing home care or assisted living or something like that. I mean, that can be very costly. So I think I'd rather see you take what God has entrusted to you and save it diligently, get it working for you. And then that money, if it's not needed for you, you know, obviously could be passed on at that point as opposed to continuing to fund life insurance that's going to get more expensive over time and, you know, funds an inheritance that, you know, is funded by money that you actually might need at some point. So I guess that would be my preference. But obviously, if you're looking just to, you know, have a policy like that for their benefit, then I think the term policy could be a way to go there.
Okay. I have another question.
Yep.
So my daughter recently got married, and her and her husband are currently doing Financial Peace University, so they maybe have been told this, but I was just listening earlier, and you had talked about that it would be more beneficial for them to have a term life policy. I have had a policy on her since she was little. It was initially just in my insurance. And then when she turned 18, it like went to $25,000, and it's about $15 a month that I'm paying, but it's the same whole life, not a whole lot of benefit from it. So would it be better to take that policy and help them like set up a term life policy for themselves?
I think so, because it's not, you're not providing a whole lot of death benefit. And, you know, I think if you want to provide assistance to them, let's do it in a way that can provide some meaningful insurance. You know, a lot of times people take out these small policies, you know, on children, you know, in the, obviously, you know, in the event that a child were to die prematurely and cover burial expenses, something like that. And, you know, they justify it by saying, well, it's just a few dollars a month. But it, especially at this point where she's out on her own, now she's married, you know, you continuing to fund this small policy, I'd rather you just recoup that money into your budget. And then if you find want to find a way to bless them, whether it's funding a 529, if the Lord gives them kids for college, or, you know, just helping them pay for a term life policy that actually gives them the coverage they need, I think that'd be a better use of those dollars.
Okay. So what is the 529?
Yeah, so that would be if they have kids and you want to help them save for those kids' college, a 529 college savings. Think of it like a Roth IRA, but for college-related expenses. So the money grows tax-free, and then if it's used for qualified educational expenses, because it's been invested, all the gains from those investments are not taxed, and the kids can pull it out and use that to pay for tuition or room or board or books, things like that. So that would just be another way you could bless them. Again, if the Lord gives them kids, you want to help out, it would be a great way for you to, you know, help them put some money aside and invest it for college education. You may not want to do that. You may want to do something else. That was just an idea.
Okay.
All right. We appreciate your call today. Virginia, thanks for checking in with us. All the best to you. Let's head to Ohio. Matthew's been holding patiently. Go right ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my quick question is, I'm 58, and we recently downsized, and we went to a smaller house, and we have now a mortgage of $88,000. And I want to know if I should, when I turn 59 and a half, take money out of my 401k and pay off the mortgage, or just continue paying on the mortgage. So we do have about 26 years left on the mortgage at 4.5%.
Okay. All right. You know, I love the idea of you all being debt free. I don't love the idea of you taking what is your probably biggest, you know, retirement savings engine, if you will, and pulling it out of the market, unless you just have a real conviction from the Lord to be debt free. But apart from that, you know, taking this money out, paying a bunch of tax on it, and getting it out of an environment where it can be growing on a tax-deferred basis and compounding, you know, for the rest of your working life, you know, I don't think is my first choice. You know, if you get to retirement and, you know, you've not, you know, now that $88,000 loan's, you know, down to 60 or 50, and over a couple of years, you want to pull that money out, you know, over two or three tax years to kind of spread it out, just to kind of knock that off and get to a place where your expenses are as low as possible, I think that could make some sense. But pulling it all out in 1 year at age 59, when you're going to put it all in one taxable year and perhaps bump that up into a higher tax bracket and remove that amount of money as a, you know, part of what's growing for your future on a tax-deferred compounding basis, that would probably not be my first choice, Matthew.
Okay, so just leave it sit and go.
So long as it's invested, yeah. And then, you know, perhaps you sync this paying it off up with retirement down the road, and you can decide, you know, how you do that as you get a little closer. And if you want to send an extra couple of payments a year, if you have the ability to do so, I think that would be a good thing. But, you know, in terms of just pulling it all out of 59 and a half, again, apart from a real conviction, the Lord leading you to be completely out of debt, I'd say I'd probably stick with that mortgage, keep paying on it. Let's try to get it paid off by the time you retire, not right at age 59 and a half. We appreciate your call. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much to my team. I couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then.